Blue Yonder, Ripping Your Grandma Off, since 1986.
You're listening to Blue Yonder with your hosts, Jim Jones, Peter Street, and introducing Aaron Hubbard.
The remote's right there. Oh. Be a dick now, Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton's first law.
Just,
Wheaton's law.
Watching the naked.
Will Wheaton violated his law. Did you see him go off on those poor...
I did, yeah, the Canadians.
Like,
what did he do?
He went off on this gamer foundation that was, like, looking for celebrities to, like, advocate for games. And someone suggested Will Wheaton, and the person's like, I like his... website and all, but what does he do to advocate for gamers?
Yeah.
And, like, Will Wheaton had a fucking meltdown.
I mean, he's had two epic keynote speeches.
And he also wrote, like, some stuff about being a gamer dad, but and he is a gaming advocate, but it's a fair question for someone that doesn't follow him like a slavish oaf to be like, what? So what did you... And the guy... Now, I will say that the guy was being a dick back. Like, if Will Wheaton popped off on me, I'd be like, oh, Will, it's a misunderstanding. I'm sorry. Maybe I just need to be more familiar with your work. Or care to, like, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, his thing is, and I kind of get his point, is that if you are running the Twitter account of a gamer advocacy organization, shouldn't you know a kind of...
You should be a gamer. Like, I think there's that level where... You got the casual gamers, and then once you cross a certain threshold, you now know who Will Wheaton is.
Yes.
And, like, it automatically comes with the culture and the experience.
And you should know about his keynote, and you should know about, you know, all the other stuff he's done for...
The books he's written, and, like, all these... Yeah.
He retracted his... So then 5 years later, this douchebag that works for this company is saying, what do you do to advocate for games? And he's like, I don't, you know... So I kind of understand, but it was like, I don't see how he got that mad about it.
Sure, sure, sure.
Knowing that it was on a public forum, too.
Yeah.
He's a little dramatic. gotta
just
say.
Just a wee bit.
A little emotional, this Will Wheaton is.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just listened before I came over here to cast of when AFL died in the D&D with the PAX guys.
Uh-huh.
And he got pretty pissed off there, but it was...
When he said the AFL... Well, just set the thing.
Join the Traveler.
Yeah, Will Wheaton's character died on the game board, and Scott Kurtz felt a bit of acid. And Scott Kurtz passed around a little sheet of paper to the rest of the gaming group that said AFL has left to wander the universe with the Traveler.
Hilarious.
A nod to Will Wheaton's fate, and Will got a little pissed about it. Yeah. His first reaction was to be mad.
No, he said he wanted to choke him to death with his T-shirts.
Yeah.
He said that, and then he did this newscaster voice. In other news, Scott Kurtz has been found dead in his apartment, choked to death with his
Ben Winn bronze bottom T-shirts.
He said that he was transfixed with hatred or something. And he was, like, you know, seriously, like, shaking and emotional, like, angry.
Yeah.
He takes his gaming pretty seriously.
Maybe he's got some issues from his past, man, like being bullied about Star Trek and, like, obviously.
Well, still, I mean, your motto is don't be a dick, how can you then go ahead and be a dick yourself?
Everybody's a dick once in a while.
He apologized publicly for it.
Yeah, his rule is basically try not to be a dick.
And
yeah,
again, I thought the guy was needlessly confrontational with Will, too.
I haven't seen what you're talking about.
No, it's Twitter. Yeah, you gotta get
him. Yeah, I've read him briefly, but I don't remember much of him.
So
I was making a point of importance to scan his tweets William Shatner's tweets, LeVar Burton tweets, Brent Spiner's
LeVar
tweets.
LeVar Burton is like very community-minded. But who, Brent Spiner?
Brent Spiner is scathing his fans. He is just flaying them alive on there.
Well, if you say anything slightly stupid and directed to him, he will cut you off at the knees. He will go into angry data mode and snap your neck and say, I enjoyed it.
And he has such... He uses the perfect words.
He
always has
as hell.
He's very articulate. Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah, Brent Spiner. If someone sends him some vapid Star Trek fanboy question, he will he'll publicly post it and then answer it in a way that makes a person look like a fucking idiot.
Do you have any examples?
And the best thing about it is his picture is him sipping a martini with his hair slicked back, and
he looks like
his goatee.
He looks like Don Draper. He's so over the data thing.
Or he looks like this film critic snob who's
Yeah, I never realized how much that image plays into it.
Yeah.
You want some examples?
Well, Data is done. Can't believe they killed him in Nemesis.
Well, it's by his request.
Star Trek Nemesis.
Was it? He like, I'm done with this Star Trek
thing?
He said,
I'm getting too old to play Data.
That's kind of true.
He is, because he doesn't have the baby Smith skin.
The makeup isn't doing
covering.
It.
It won't, I mean, you would think that it would make it easier with as his skin pops
just
and pits,
pile on more pancake makeup.
It just has surface to grip onto instead of sliding off of his smooth silken face.
Yeah,
no?
But then pretty soon he's gonna look so big.
He's gonna look like Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, he's gonna look like this big plastic faced figure.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like Odo. He's gonna start looking just like Odo.
Yeah, it won't be right. Just as it says in The Naked Now, do not I have pores. You won't be able to see those. I was watching
That's
The Naked
true.
Now, by the way, doing a little research for our Star Trek show.
Which one is that?
The Naked Now.
That's where they all get like a drunk virus.
They get like a virus, makes everybody act like they're drunk. And they go to, they find the ship and they're all acting crazy and drunk. And they blow themselves out of the hatch. And they come in, LeVar Burton finds this frozen woman in the shower. Really early episode on. It's the second one. And has the most awkward Picard tries to be intimate moment. Absolutely, without a
plus,
because he makes a sound effect not repeatable, like the Wilhelm it's like he's masturbating to a dog or something. It is weird. It's seriously makes the sound out of nowhere, and it makes the final cut of the episode. And I cannot explain what's happening.
Directors always go with the most interesting cut, right?
Yeah,
so
that was definitely
interesting.
There was the one where he did Shakespeare with the cape on, but they didn't want to use that one. They wanted to use.
It's so weird. You guys have to see that before I go.
Okay.
It's so phenomenal. And loop it. It's one of those things that if you loop it, it goes through the roof funny. Like exponentially funny as it gets repeated.
Are there videos like that on YouTube where they've cut him doing that back and forth?
It's isolated to a scene. I know the link on YouTube. I can find it immediately. And it's just
I'm just wondering if they've remixed it.
No, it's not a remix. No.
Like an over 9,000 cut.
It's waiting to be done. Yeah, it needs
to be. Oh, dude, mark it up. Mark up another video to do. Well, I guess we're recording it. We'll know.
It's gotta happen.
Yeah, what's that? I've been looking for a good...
That sound effect that Picard makes?
To be looped.
It needs to be remixed for YouTube.
It's while Beverly's trying to get a hold of his captain's Picard.
Really?
Yeah. She's, taking her clothes off.
She unzips
That's
her...
That's perfect
she
for
unzips
a YouTube
her
video.
Uniform, front down to her breast. Short
and there's
cleavage.
Light coming
she
out of it.
She doesn't do that. But
yeah, she does.
No, I just saw it. She does something similar, but she has an overcoat on. And she takes the overcoat off and throws it down. And she takes her hair thing off.
Oh,
and then,
lets the hair
down.
Yeah.
Hair, and she comes over, but she has still has her thing on. She doesn't, unzip
it. I thought she unzipped her uniform tunic down.
I mean, it would have been appropriate, but it didn't happen. Yeah.
Anyway,
I was going to go back and actually say something after that.
Yes, my computer
is
still very possessed.
Let's do an exorcism on the power of Christ compels you.
Indeed, the power of Christ. Christ needs to get off his ass and compel something because this is brutal.
Just
the power of Christ compels me to.
Why not just install the OS again and start?
I'm going to.
Yes, it needs to happen. It needs to happen. At this point, it's a lost cause.
Well, here you know I can keep it from doing it by keeping up.
It's a lost causes.
Yeah, he needed a pipe and
then larger forearms.
That would be funny too if you like did that scene and you like redub different, like, you know, Ace Ventura or Ace Ventura's little
here.
Laugh when he does that, and then you do the Popeye
do
and then maybe do Woody Woodpecker. That'd be pretty good.
That would be awesome. YouTube videos galore, man.
Yeah,
core of the market
on
remixes.
What I was thinking about last night, I was realizing while Jim and I were watching Entourage.
I gotta say it every time you say it.
Gemini. While we were watching Entourage, I thought, like, are we in the golden age of television right now? I think that television has never been better written, better casted, or looked better in the history of mankind. We've got the convergence of high def, like, movie actors are, you know, very well accomplished actors are working in television, mm-hmm. and the scripts and the concepts are tight and the money is flowing. I mean, think about...
And there's innovation, like things that haven't been done before. I mean, if you look at Lost, Lost is a show that I can't think has ever been attempted before, except for, was it Twin Peaks?
Oh, but on
Twin
the scale,
Peaks,
I mean, even the
but
networks.
Not, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's $1 million pilot.
It was ridiculous. That was enormous.
I am going to have to be the dissenting voice in this conversation, because I can agree that there has been some decent TV lately, but I must admit, personally, I'm not into any of the shows on television right now.
But have you watched them? Like, have you watched Entourage? Have you... Entourage, just as why I thought that, because Entourage is kind of a goofy show.
Yeah.
And it's still funny, but there's some no shit drama acting happening now.
Yeah.
The main characters in Entourage, I likened it last night, they've all got a noose that's slowly tightening around their neck. And they're getting further and further in it. Half of the characters are actually wanting to get out of it, but it just still can tighten it further,
and
half of them are just trying to, or are trying to actively jump off the scaffolding so they get hung faster. They don't want to wait for the trapdoor.
I don't think they are. I think they're just acknowledging. They're not acknowledging that they're in the shit.
Oh,
yet.
I think
they just don't understand.
He's got to know he's in the shit as much blow as he's doing, and like getting into a fist fight with Eminem. And
we need to cut that. I don't want to do those spoilers, man. The show's still on the freaking air.
Yeah. It was 3 days ago.
God, I'm sorry.
We should just bump some. Okay, I'll beep it. We'll beep it.
Okay.
So I mean, you know, it's like, so it's like you got this throwaway kind of jokey show that's like really bringing the A game when it comes to acting. Mad Men, Breaking Bad, The Shield, The Wire.
Oh, The Shield is so good. We should do an episode just on The Shield if you guys watch it.
Sopranos. I mean, a lot of people fans of Rome.
Yeah, it's getting shitty.
No, it's gotten. I mean, yeah. But I'm just saying that Battlestar Galactica.
I mean, we had Battlestar Galactica. Sopranos, we had Heroes.
Heroes, Lost?
Which was good for one season, but I.
Well, I enjoyed Heroes. Actually, maybe I'm the dissenting voice only for the fact that I've not seen every show you've mentioned besides Heroes and Lost. but I say this because I have to jump to Heroes' defense here. Because Jim's saying that the first season was good, which I agree. I actually liked the second season, the one that was short because of the writer's strike or whatever it was at the time. I actually thought that was as good as the first, and a lot of people thought that season sucked ass.
I didn't like the way Siler changed in it. Like,
how do you mean?
He switched directions. I can't recall exactly how, but I remember that getting that feeling when I watched it. Like, they just wrote him into a weird direction. That I didn't expect.
I thought he was just being kind of more subtle and more sadistic than ever. Because he didn't do a lot of violence, but he was trying to get something out of the crew he was with. He's just this demonic figure, this Satan figure, where he can pretend to be
that,
a decent
that
guy.
That manipulation.
Yeah, I thought it was a cool exploration of how far he can portray a decent person and then cut someone's throat at the bitter end of this long business.
Okay, I can give it a little more respect on that level, actually. You talked me into it.
And it was going in a great direction. I started Season 3 kind of liking it less than 2 and 1.
I felt that Hero's story fell apart, too.
Yeah,
I didn't like it.
Because
he was
the
best
thing.
Fucking character
at the
beginning.
He was the best part of it.
He really was.
He was. He was amazing, and he was also thought-provoking because you got a glimpse of his future self, which was totally stoic.
And totally different than he was
Absolutely
then.
Absolutely
different. You can't see how he could possibly change from what he is now to what he has become.
Yeah, and I wanted to follow that arc so much. And I halfway through 3... I read an article on the internet saying, "Oh my God, Lost Heroes has been canceled."
Yeah,
and I haven't watched it since because I was like, "Well, I'm not going to get
exactly.
I'm not going to get any satisfaction,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
So why invest more of my
here's
emotion?"
Here's what will happen: they'll come out with a movie trying to tell 7 seasons worth of plot in one
in a
2-hour
goes the Firefly model.
Exactly.
Well, hopefully, they'll pull off as well.
Firefly
Serenity
good,
was
but,
good.
Man, I wish they could have stretched that out into a real series.
I don't know what the hell happened. The Preacher had a story arc I was looking forward to. Not as much as Heroes, Hiro Nakamura.
Sure, yeah.
But he had an arc that was really kind of curious because you knew he had a background that had nothing to do with being a holy man.
Oh, no.
You never see it. We'll never know what that was.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Never. It's done.
Because
they kill
it.
I mean, I shouldn't say.
If you are listening to this and you have not seen Firefly,
agreed.
Punch yourself.
So go ahead and say whatever I want then, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, he gets killed in the Serenity.
Indeed he does.
He gets killed actually without really any exploration of his character aside from him showing up in a scene and then being dead in the next one.
You know who also gets killed?
Yeah.
Walsh.
Yeah,
that's for you listeners who haven't seen it. Go fuck yourselves.
Yeah, if you're listening to this halfway through the series, then why? You know, just suck on those.
Just
how you like
the
them
out. 1.5 episodes that came out that series, and then come back to the podcast.
Yeah, for Christ's sakes, there are 14 shows.
You can't watch 14 shows in one sitting.
There are more. There is more Blue Yonder content out on the web than there is Firefly.
That is a fact.
That is a factual statement.
That is a proven fact.
Yep.
Holla.
So suck it, Joss. Aaron, you need to call out Joss Whedon so you can have, like, the geek trifecta here coming after you.
You know...
You're going to call him out?
No, he's not, because he respects
me too much. He hasn't risen to the calling out level yet.
What would take him over the edge? I mean, what even weighs against him?
I don't even think
like
he...
Dollhouse.
I never watched Dollhouse. I never watched Angel. Never watched Buffy.
That's what I'm saying.
I
have more series like Dollhouse.
I've not been into this.
I will turn against him like a rabid animal.
A lot of people love him.
A lot of people say that Buffy the Vampire Slayer is actually very good, despite I've heard nothing but criticism
of
Angel.
Really?
Yeah.
I've known personally big fans of Angel.
Not any people in this room. We think vampires suck. Sparkly.
Vampires
no, I love
suck.
Vampires. Vampires fucking rock. I love vampires. I have to dissent totally.
The
vampires
Anne
are
Rice
cool.
Version.
Anne Rice. Are you talking
about
like
vampires
Interview with a
fagged.
Vampire?
Vampires have been fagged for too long.
Interview with a Vampire I thought was a good movie. I enjoyed it. And I also enjoyed Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah.
Bram
the one
Stoker.
Where who was it that plays
what did
Dracula?
Rim Stroker.
Wesley Snipes plays Dracula.
Rim Licker.
Rim Licker's Dracula.
Rim Licker 4.
I like that movie.
Yeah,
you
that
guys didn't like
good.
That movie?
That good. No, that movie's good.
Okay, no, it's very good. Gary Oldman.
Come
plays
on,
Dracula.
Yeah, please.
And Gary Oldman. We got to talk about him in a minute. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying that vampires are a cool concept. And
sure.
I was going to reference.
What about Underworld?
Underworld, I actually like those movies, too.
I think they're good action movies. That's all
they're
I
good action
for.
Movies. Vampires are really irrelevant in the concept of what they were going for. They were going for more of a Matrix-style action film. But I'm just talking about vampires that don't sparkle are cool. That's all I wanted to say.
So what
there's inverse relationship to how sparkly they are and how much they suck.
What about
Very
Blackula?
Well.
What do you think about Blackula?
What
he
are you talking about?
He's the opposite of sparkly. He's dark.
The movie Blackula.
Are you talking about Blade where Wesley Snipes.
No, Blackula.
He's the opposite.
He was a Blackula.
No, wait a second.
I mean, he was a Blackula.
He was.
Wait a second. I've got science.
What are you talking about? Blackula's the opposite of
Snarkity. Is Blackula...
Blackula is.
He's black. He sucks in light. So he must be the awesomest vampire of all.
I'm totally lost at this point.
There is a movie called Blackula where Wesley Snipes or Morgan Freeman or somebody plays Dracula.
Oh, do you know that Morgan Freeman's 73 years old?
Holy shit. He's almost caught up to William
Shatner.
He was
in the first VHS film we owned at my house was Driving Miss Daisy and the Bear.
Oh, imagine that.
You're going to say Shawshank Redemption.
No.
Talking about.
I don't think we would have been allowed to watch it. 250-pound
bull queer named Sassafras.
That's where I learned to commit suicide.
Andy would never forget.
That is an amazing film, by the way.
Oh, hell yeah.
But no, Driving Miss Daisy was the first...
Blackula.
Simultaneously together with that and The Bear, one of the worst, weirdest fucking nature shows I've ever seen.
The Bear?
Can we look this up? Can we figure out...
A bear?
No, it's just called The Bear. That's the movie.
Bear.
The Bear. And it follows the life of a bear through the wild. And then he goes to a zoo, and then he breaks out of the zoo, and he goes back to the wild and eats some funny mushrooms, and then has weird visions.
You watch this movie a lot.
Because it's all I had. I had that, and I had Driving Miss Daisy. What was I going to do?
I'd watch Blackula.
Yeah.
I could watch a black television screen.
I'd go rent Blackula from the store.
And call it Blackula. But Driving Miss Daisy, he plays an old man in that film.
Yeah.
Driving around Miss Daisy.
No, he
and that's like
one.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
And he was old in the 80s.
But here's the thing. He's 73 years old. If you dyed his hair black, he is a very well-preserved man.
Oh, my God. He looks fucking great.
Maybe the thing is...
I'm not gay, but I would fuck him.
Maybe the thing is, when he was 25 years old...
Gay.
Oh, shit.
Damn it. What were you
saying?
Maybe
the thing is, when he was 25 years old, he looked 50.
Uh-huh.
So now he's 73. He still looks 50. Like
he's Benjamin Button.
Yeah. He has a giant flat spot on the age curve where he aged ever so quickly, he reached 50 and he just stayed there.
His movie career is phenomenal right now. He's in every Batman movie that there ever is.
I can draw a parallel to Morgan Freeman.
What?
William Shatner. William Shatner is a preserved man, and he is at the height of his
career.
Not anymore,
and I'm right with Aaron on this one. There are kinks in that armor, my friend.
They're showing, but the man is 80 years old.
He's
80
years old.
80 years old.
Is he 80 right on?
He looks better than I do.
He was 79 last time.
He may still be 79, but he's either 79.
He might be 80 now.
Every single time he gets to the point where he's going to start getting wrinkles, he gains another 5 pounds.
And gets another television show.
And it pumps out the wrinkles. Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's a good strategy. So every year you get older, you gain 5 pounds.
But
well, it's my birthday! 5 more steaks on the Mega Grill!
One of these days he's going to burst like a balloon and it's... not going to be pretty.
One thing I want to touch on is that, did you know, is the 25th anniversary this week of Super Mario Brothers being released?
Sweet.
I didn't know that,
1983?
Actually.
Hit the arcades. 85, yeah, that's right.
Hit the arcades.
Super Mario Brothers was in the arcades first?
And that's the first video game I can remember where the arcade, the home system was almost a perfect replica of the arcade experience.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like the holy fucking grail, because you took it for granted that shit's going to look better at the arcade.
Yep.
And that's the first time that wasn't true.
And that's why the arcades are dying now, because that's no longer true.
Now, most home consoles look better.
Yep.
And have better controls than the arcade.
And I think that is why
support.
The arcades died.
Well, not only that.
The second
Arcades also... Yeah, arcades always were popular. The second time, at least, like Aaron was saying, because they delivered an experience you couldn't get at home. Now, that's hardly true.
Yep.
Nevertheless, 25 years for Super Mario Brothers is insane. I must say, though, I played it once in the arcade form. The arcade cabinet running along with Mario down the levels, through the levels, with the joystick is not the way that I want to control my Mario Brothers. I had first played it at a Showbiz Pizza back before they made everything Chuck E. fucking cheese.
Yeah, and ticket dispenser now.
Yes, when they had games. Thank
Welcome
you.
To arcades of 2010.
Yeah, poor bastard kids of today. Anyway, and if you're a poor bastard watching that's or listening that's offended at that, I'm sorry. Not really. Fuck you. When it comes to the first time I played it in a Showbiz Pizza, I had spent probably 100 hours playing it at home with a hunchback, the Gamer Hunch, over a D-pad and two buttons that said A and B. So when I picked this up, I couldn't make it through the first stage. I had beat the game entirely, time and time again, but I could not make Mario get to the end of level 1-1.
It's wild how much different the joystick is than the D-pad, right?
Radically, radically different. I felt like a gaming retard.
That's the thing, your mind knows what to do, but it can't make your body do it, because you don't have the muscle memory. Do have the visual memory. Yeah.
The visual memory, but not the muscle memory.
That's a big problem.
Frustrating detachment to have. So I only put, I think, because back then you could play a full game for one coin.
Oh.
You remember those days, fellas?
Yeah. Now we got to put in $5 bills.
So I put in, I think, only 2 quarters. Because I was just like, fuck this. I can play it at home. I can beat it at home. And I can't get Mario to jump and get... I think I did, on the second playthrough, get him to level 1-2. But I believe the Mario Brothers arcade game was also different, because I remember there being different gaps in the level and different jumps and different timing. So I think there was a difference.
It got harder quicker.
I would love to play the
difference. Drain quarters from you.
I think we should try here in the
hunt down
podcast
names.
Lair to hunt down an original Super Mario Brothers arcade cab.
That would be awesome.
Or a cocktail cabinet.
Or get a MAME cabinet.
That's not the same, man. Fuck emulators. Fuck them.
You know
cabinet,
if
man.
We ever do the Riley Tower Gambit, we ought to get a MAME cabinet.
Oh, that would be sweet. Put it overlooking the city, like against the glass windows.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be incredibly fucking awesome?
That would be.
The 25, I mean, think about it. Like, today's kids, like, my son is crazier about Mario than he is about Mickey Mouse.
Still?
In 25 years, this little throw-off character from Donkey Kong has become arguably one of the most popular and recognized icons in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. They've been saying that whole Mickey Mouse Mario comparison that you just made. I've heard that since the Mario 64 days.
Well, I mean,
When Mario 64 came out, they were saying that.
Think how many mascots the other companies have gone through.
Yeah, Sonic Crash Bandicoot.
I mean, Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic's Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah. I mean, you cannot name them all. Bugsy remember him?
Hell yeah.
Who else?
But Mario, like,
every Looney
Nintendo
Tunes character
doesn't even have to think about it. Like, they want to throw a likable mascot out there, it's fucking Mario.
And he's only likable because the goddamn games rock ass.
Well, sure.
Like, even Super Mario fucking Galaxy 2 is a fucking awesome game. Like, they have the absolute, like, one of the big complaints when the Wii came out was the Zelda title was way too easy. And I beat The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess without dying one time. I didn't need a single fairy to resurrect me. You know, if you have one in the bottle and you die, it'll self-res. I didn't need that once in the entire playthrough.
Back to full health.
Exactly. Legend and Neil for the win. I was not dead one time through that entire experience, and I thought, this is a joke. I understand you're trying to get people to wave their arms on the couch and push one button, and you're trying to get, you know, grandpa to play games, but fuck, when it comes time to fucking Zelda, let's be serious. Let's have an experience that's going to challenge a seasoned gamer. Thank you. Please, and come again. But it wasn't that way, but Mario is totally different. I think they learned their lesson in Zelda and had a lot of backlash, I think, from people like me, because this game is finely tuned to be very approachable by the casual and at the same time offer an insane amount of challenge to someone who's a completist.
Well, I think the same thing would be true about the new Super Mario Bros. Wii. I mean, that game...
Yeah. Super Mario Bros. Wii was pretty challenging if you want to get everything, and also the DS version, too.
Not only is it more challenging, but the four-player multiplayer is...
That is what makes it challenging.
A riot.
If you're playing it but solo, it's actually easier.
Really?
Yeah, huh. Because you don't have fucking four people fucking with you.
Right.
Because they make it a pain in the
that
ass.
That game is real. Like, outside of Contra...
But it's fun.
Outside of Contra, I don't know if there's a bigger buddy fucking game in the
or
planet.
Or Little Big Planet, yeah.
Little Big Planet, you can fucking run.
Can you lift them up and throw them into a lava pit?
No, but you can slap them into
Well, this one you can grab the... Everything is like... It's as chaotic as like playing Power Stone on the Dreamcast.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I played it.
Everything. I mean, you can pick up everything and use it against everybody.
And the castles have that Contra element where the bottom of the screen is a weapon. Like, you can jump ahead of the other guy and kill them by scrolling the screen above.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's great. It's
not since the horizontal levels of Contra have I ever seen such a rage-inducing gameplay.
I've never seen a marriage between co-op and competitive multiplayer in the history of video games like that.
And speaking of marriage, it almost ended my sister's. Like, her and
seriously?
Well, not seriously, but I went over there once and played with her and my nephew and my brother-in-law, and the fighting that was generated, like, I thought there was going to be spousal, fraternal, child, every type of abuse you can imagine outside of sexual, I thought was on the table. Self.
I don't play it with my fiance either because of the same reason. She's very competitive, and we've played WoW for years. We've only had one duel in 5 years in WoW between our characters, and it was 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago,
and never again.
Really? Because, yeah, we went through this, we were out grinding in a desert area. There was nothing around, and we were like, it's late one night. Why don't we just duel?
Okay.
She's like, yeah, okay.
Put down, bitch.
Put down the duel, right-click the player, hit duel, the flag comes down in the dirt of the desert. And she's on her rogue character, and I'm on my paladin. She thinks paladins are cheap anyway. And she stealths immediately, just like a rogue does. You have no idea, when the battle's going to start, but fucking the rogue's going to start it, because they're going to come out and, like, cheap shot you in the back and stun you. So she does, and I get stunned, and it's this epic thing where I'm down. Oh, man, I can't. She's stun locking me. She had the stun lock build back in the day where they could almost just fully kill you, and you haven't done one thing because they time their cooldowns.
But paladins are cheap.
Paladins are cheap, and I survived the initial stun lock attempt to get off one heal and then another, and I was back to full health. The entire... a bar of her cooldowns and powers blown. And then I start, pounding her and, hitting her somewhat roughly with my little one-handed mace. Pink, pink, pink. And then by the time she gets her cooldowns back, she opens up again and tries to do the stunning. I, at the last possible second before she kills me, throw up my bubble, which means I'm invincible for 12 seconds. I heal back to full and then bop her down while I'm invincible to death. And it was like the hair of my fucking scrote was the difference between me and her winning. But I won, and I didn't get sex for a month. And I got
retired as champion.
Yep,
I did.
You have the crown. I can.
I walked away while I was ahead.
Yeah, you're wearing a belt.
One of the few times I've ever done that in life. But never again will I ever battle her. The same thing with the new Mario Brothers game. We played once. We beat a level together. We were laughing and happy, and all things were good. The next level starts, and I throw her in lava once because I'm a bitter little fucker. And I like to fuck with people when I'm playing games, and Jim knows that's true.
Oh, yeah.
And she threw the control. It was no more. No more playing. No more
so
happy.
Unfair.
The house
you
was...
You bake one cake. No one calls you Baker. You throw one person into a pit of lava, suddenly you're a buddy fucker.
I'm glad you brought it back around to Mario, though, because I was wondering, what exactly is it about Mario that makes him such a likable mascot? Is it, like, the mustache? Is it the overalls? Is it the plumber?
I think a fat Italian plumber.
Why?
A racial stereotype voice, it makes people happy.
What? Why does it make people happy? Do people like stereotypes? Are people racist?
I've got my own opinions. What do you
think,
Aaron?
I think Peter's right on. The gameplay is one a lot of good.
I'm talking about people who don't play the games.
Good stuff. I think it's all character design. and the fact that he looks good, like Mario has looked like Mario even in the 8-bit stage. And that,
I agree. You
know,
you got the anchor of the mustache,
face, huge Japanimation eyes, the like cloud shaped yep. mustache. I think it all just goes together.
Huh.
I think it's a very like.
I
Mickey
think it's
because
he's fat. He's like soft. He's cuddly.
Well, his design has changed, I must say. I think his design's sure. changed over the years.
It's gone
bit.
Through many changes.
It's gone through a few changes. Like, he's more, you know, back when he was a bitmap, he was kind of blocky.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool because he had, they designed him in such a way to where in the very limited amount of space that you could make detail for these 8-bit characters, he had all kinds of different character attributes that were visible in that single sprite. Like yep. Aaron mentioned, he had a distinguishable stash.
Yeah. That's
he had distinguishable overalls.
Yep.
He had a distinguishable, you know, but blocky hands. And all that flipped the script on you when you picked up the fire flower for the first time. Then it was all white. It was like he was adorned in different garbs.
Yeah,
it was like Mario the White.
Even just that palette swap was awesome to me
was
when I was
amazing.
A kid.
It was amazing.
I
loved to it. Behold, wasn't
Without
it?
Without that palette swap, I wouldn't have felt the impact, the real impact of picking up a fire flower.
Right, you felt different. Right.
I wouldn't have realized what I was missing at that point, but man, to take it away now,
yeah.
I'm passionate about that palette swap. No fucking joke. I'm passionate about it. Made me who I
well,
am today.
Well, that's fine. It did?
Yeah.
You might be going
it's the down. Only reason you users are hearing
but
this podcast.
I think it's the same reason Mickey Mouse is popular.
Thank you, Mario.
Because I've read books on animation and character design because I used to be something I like to fancy myself as I want to be a comic artist.
Ew.
Anyway, statistically, like, the reason that we think puppies and babies and whatnot are cute is because they have large heads proportioned to their bodies, large eyes proportioned to their heads, and kind of pudgy, childlike features. They have like large foreheads, and we see these things as endearing and cute. Mickey Mouse, enormous forehead, enormous head, enormous eyes.
Yeah.
Like we look at Sonic the Hedgehog.
Look at any anime character.
He's spiky,
yep.
and he's kind of got a leer to his face. He's not
yeah.
friendly. Same
he's
thing
harsh.
With,
but that actually was a good thing for a while.
It was, yeah. Because
he was the antithesis.
Why is a character beloved over 25-year history? I'm
right.
Not,
yeah. right.
Character design is appeals or evolutionary hardwired to adore them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like,
kind of like what the Red Letter Media guy was saying about the Avatar characters.
Exactly.
They had the big, innocent eyes. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is more apparent in Mario's new design.
Yes.
He's a much more, like, fluffy kind of, like a fairground, you know, big, fluffy
know. Have
thing.
Have you ever seen any of the arcade art from Donkey Kong? I mean, Mario is pretty much fucking Mario. Now, they have weaponized
yeah.
the cuteness.
They have
buffed it.
They've honed it down.
Yeah.
Little pot-bellied, giant head, expressive eyes, plumber.
I think that Mario, as an icon, as a symbol, is eventually just going to come down to the mustache. They won't even draw the rest of the body. 50 years from now, we'll see a billboard with a mustache, and that'll be it. And people will know the next Mario game is coming out.
The Mario
like, that's
stash.
How into society Mario will have integrated himself.
I hope so, because I actually like his older designs, like when it was hand-drawn art opposed to the CG version.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not a fan.
I'm not
fact,
a fan of the CGI.
I remember when you got your N64,
mm-hmm.
and one of the flagship titles you showed off to me was
Super Mario,
Mario
64,
3D, first time.
Yeah.
Was not impressed. I did not like that. I liked the sprite.
What didn't you like about it? What was different to you?
I just don't know. It just didn't feel like Mario.
The gameplay was great
like
in that game.
It was 3D.
I remember we went to a Toys R Us and played it before launch.
And
we loved the gameplay,
yeah.
I thought.
The gameplay was good. I just didn't.
Didn't like the design.
Do you yeah. still hold that opinion that it's bad?
I like the new Mario, the new Super Mario Brothers Wii. Better than I do, even though it's kind of 3D.
It's pretty much the same design, I think. It's just not as detailed, so
yeah.
not as much.
So I don't know.
Overtly
I'm
cuteness.
Kind of, I like the old school stuff myself.
To me, I'm the classic, the hand-drawn Mario from the from the Super Mario Brothers 3 box where he's got the raccoon tail and the raccoon ears. That's fucking it for me. Yeah, that is stone for me.
But I'm telling you, take away the Mario, leave just the stash, it's the same thing.
No, the stone.
You need the hat.
The hat and the stash, yeah.
You have to have the hat. And he has some fucking burns, too.
He does have some burns. I have to disagree completely with something you said.
What's that?
The stone look is when he's wearing the raccoon suit.
No, that's when he's wearing the tanuki suit.
Not the tanuki suit. Fuck, I fucked up.
Yeah. Were you telling a joke there?
I'm going to edit it when I...
God, you must have really fucked up that joke.
I didn't even get it. Yeah, I didn't either.
You said that look is the stone, and I'm like, no, Mario's stone look is in the...
Oh, and you meant to say tanuki suit.
Gotcha. That would have been good.
That would have actually been funny.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Oh, well, next time. I'll wait for the 50th anniversary. I should make it that far.
I'm kind of digging where we're going with video games. Like, even like using retro games in modern society, we've been really doing some interesting things with them. Like as far as art goes,
how do you mean?
I like it.
Like, give me an example.
People using them for art projects. Like there was
8-bit art is considered a recognized and kind of
it's like an impressionist period. Yeah. And it'll be like an 8-bit art period. It'd be like an ASCII art period sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
I kind of like that.
I didn't know
like
that it was a movement at all.
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, people are doing projects based on like these old video games. Like, people are making mechanical versions of some games. Like, I saw someone made a mechanical version of Pong.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that I grew up during that period, just so I can look back with such fondness on it and be like, wow,
yeah.
I was there when this... Because everybody's celebrating it now, and like we said, in these different ways and these art forms and things, and I'm like, I was there first time through.
You know what? I would say that this is kind of like a State of the Geek type topic, which we need to get around to now.
We do.
But I think that video games are one of the aspects of geek culture that has been accelerated the embracing. Like, ever since the Wii came out, everybody fucking plays games. It's and Facebook. I mean, you might look your nose down at Farmville, and I do, but everybody's playing video games now, man.
It's true. Everybody's playing some game. People are gaming like crazy. Absolutely. It's so easily accessible.
On your phone.
Whether it's on your phone or it's in your browser at work. Like, you know, people are playing all kinds of web-based games where I'm at.
It's even in your search engine on your browser at work.
Yeah.
Like that. Did you guys see that Pac-Man game that Google had?
Yeah, the Pac-Man Google.
I didn't
as their
see
logo.
That one, man. I knew that happened, but I didn't get a hold of that. They use iGoogle. And it fucked me up.
Oh, man. Their own system gotcha.
Yeah, their own special add-on got me.
You can go back and find the link. It's still up there.
Yeah,
they left that one
if
up.
If you click on Google's logo, if there's a special one, it as their explanation for why it's that logo of the day, you'll like have logo archives that you can go back and look at every single one they've ever done.
That's
awesome.
Pretty
sweet. I didn't know that. I'll have to do that then.
They had a really cool one when they switched to HTML5 and started doing the real-time search results. They had that cool like dot one where the dots were like swirling around and then formed.
I played with that at work the other day. That was actually pretty cool. I like that.
They had the black and white Google logo that colored in slowly as you typed certain terms.
I don't really like the instant feature. I turn it off.
It
flips me out. Like it's like I don't want to see a whole screen shift each time I type a letter.
You know, I thought I was going to hate it too. And that's what I told Aaron when we were talking about it earlier. I was like, this is a bad idea. I don't like it. I don't mind it.
Anything that can shave off a half second.
I changed it already.
Time,
I switched to default.
Anything can shave a half, because I'm an efficiency freak. Anything that can shave a half second of my search time, I'm doing. And I found that there's two types of people. They either love it or hate it.
Yeah.
But the people that love it, I've found that there's some people that thought that it's like, I don't understand. You know, I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's me.
Or I think it's going to be horrible. But then they end up like, there's no one that just says, eh. You know, it's kind of like the ribbon in Office 7. So many people hate that fucking thing, but everyone I've known that's like just grits their teeth and uses it for 2 weeks are like, yeah, actually, I like that better. Now when I go back to Office 2003, it drives me fucking crazy that the ribbon's not there.
For some reason, I thought you were talking about the paperclip. I was like, no, everybody fucking hates it.
Yeah, nobody
everybody hates
Clippy.
That.
Everyone wanted to hurt Clippy.
What are you talking about?
What's
the ribbon do?
It's the menu system at the top.
What's the difference?
Instead of a like a file button, there's like a big logo. Very much like the Windows 7 interface, but you've got this big round logo. You click that for the most common things, save, print, blah. But then they've got the, like, tasks. That it, you know, there's no, like, file, view, edit, settings. It's all, like, editing, you know, view, printing. And when you click on that, the bar transforms into all the tasks that are associated with what you're wanting to do.
Okay, so yeah. It doesn't drop down anymore and keep the other features. It just totally converts the entire bar.
Exactly. So if I'm editing a Word document, all the editing things and font controls are right there. If I'm in preview mode and I'm, like, laying out the page, I flip that and it hides all the, like, the font options and all that crap and just gives me the page orientation stuff.
I can see how you can like that, but yeah. I don't like – what I'm not liking about the new Google search feature is the fact that it physically irritates me to be on that page and watch an entire screen change every single time it's trying to guess what I'm typing.
Are you hunting a pecker, though?
No. I type things out pretty...
See, I type, and I don't look at what I'm typing. I don't look at the keyboard, so I'm actually looking at the research results. And
that's what I'm looking at, and I see everything in my peripheral vision flashing. Fucking can't stand it.
I don't know. See, I
just... Because I'm looking at the bar I'm typing in,
and, like, as
and
soon
I'm
as
typing it.
And then as soon as it's like the... It's like the I'm flips like button on steroids. But
right, and
it's
like, calm down, internet screen. Just chill out. It's like it's too hyper.
It doesn't,
like,
bother me unless I don't know why it's doing it. As long as I know,
like,
why
this,
it's doing
like
it.
Like the current laptop is possessed.
Yeah. But if I know that I'm causing that action, it doesn't bother me.
By the way, listeners, this is the first time I'm an IT professional. This is the first time I've had to resort to fucking reinstalling an operating system over any issue ever. For some reason, the F11 key is being spammed by an invisible macro, and it makes whatever application you're in constantly go full size window mode.
It's horrible.
20 times a second.
It's like epileptic seizure.
The only way to stop it is to try to spam F11 yourself.
Yeah.
Hit escape, and then that buys you a few seconds worth of respite, and it starts up again. I blame my roommate, Jim. I don't know.
It was the Somali pirates.
Moves in, he fucking possesses it.
Somali
it's
pirates.
That zombie
ASCII porn.
Porn you've been watching.
It's the 8-bit
porn.
8-bit porn.
8-bit meets ASCII pornography. That's sites.
You know, what can I say?
Sometimes.
I've got a fetish.
There's one other notable anniversary that happened this last week.
Oh, yes? Captain fucking Planet.
20th anniversary of it going off the air? Because that's the only thing I'd celebrate.
He's your hero. He's going to take pollution down to zero.
Yes, he will.
He's your powers amplified. And he's fighting on the
And what are our powers? I know one of them is heart.
Heart is the only one I remember.
You got your standard airbender powers.
Sure.
Earth,
wind,
fire,
water.
And water.
They were all elemental.
Then
and then heart. What the fuck does heart have to do with the elements?
I don't know. And what's really funny is the heart was like some Indian boy. You'd think it'd be a woman. Or a
Dude,
Care Bear.
That Captain Planet
when
is where...
Heart, there's only two solutions. It's either a doughy-eyed girl or Care Bear. You can't throw Haji from Johnny Quest and say he's got the heart.
I was thinking it was a barefoot bitch in the kitchen. I'm sorry.
Has anybody ever realized that Captain Planet is where they got the idea for the fifth element?
Oh my god.
It's the fifth element. What is
Luc
it?
Besson
heart.
Was high as shit.
High as shit watching Captain Planet.
Turner Broadcast Station.
That's right.
And
it is heart, isn't it?
He's like,
no,
oh my god.
Was it?
I've got a movie that Mila Jovovich is attached to. She needs to be the heart. It can't be this Haji guy. It's got to be a doe eyed girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, man.
That's where they got the idea.
The Star Wars of the 90s. My ass.
That and playing Crazy Taxi.
Yeah. How can I combine this?
Yeah.
Kept the plan of my Crazy Taxi.
It was at an author's convention. They were dared to combine Captain Planet with Crazy Taxi.
Oh, damn it. So, hey, did you get a chance to read the first book in the Codex Alera?
No, and only because you actually gave that to me when I was in the middle of another trilogy. So I did finish a book since you've seen me last, but not that one.
What trilogy?
The Rapist Trilogy.
The Rapist Trilogy. It's where Mario Art.
Anal.
Yep.
One oral.
It's a me, a woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. No. The the first Dritz trilogy, the Dark Elf trilogy.
Oh, okay.
The
Where's that, Ron El Salvador?
Somebody turn on Fight Night Round 4. I'm going to tune out.
We need more tentacle penis.
Yep.
Hit me with some tentacle penises.
And what's really cool is that there are a ton of wheelbarrows in that book series.
Oh, really?
I bet there are.
Tons of fucking wheelbarrows.
I almost want you, I got to finish his last few pages, but I started on his second series called The Dresden Files. It is shit hot. It is so good.
I can't believe
it's not been a major motion picture. Plot on this one is, it's Max Payne. He's a private investigator, hard-boiled, except for he's also a no-shit wizard. And he's operating out of modern-day Chicago.
See, I don't get this.
It's kind of like the Harry Potter rule where nobody really knows about wizards and
I'm waiting for
and
the
monsters
interesting
and stuff part. Like that. It's like a very adult, very humorous Harry Potter, I guess. But there's no wheelbarrows. Like, he's got a spirit that is like this assistant. It's a human skull spirit, and its name is Bob. It's like there are no wheelbarrows. It's Bob the Skull.
Bob the Skull.
Yeah.
I don't think Jim Jones is liking this idea.
Her name's Bianca. I mean, there are no wheelbarrows.
That does not help me. Vampires mixing in more fantasy with your fantasy is not going to help it. I'm sorry.
It's grounded in the real world in present day Chicago.
Oh yeah, the wizards and the vampires in Chicago.
Right.
Uh-huh. Isn't that doing it for you, Jim?
No, fuck no.
I'm telling you, you should try it. And I can't believe it's not. The other thing is, I can't believe it's not a major motion picture. I heard it was a shitty sci-fi series, which doesn't sci-fi. Syphilis spreads all kinds of shit like that.
No, what was the series that is supposed to be the great introduction to fantasy for people who don't like fantasy? What was that we were talking about at one time?
Tale of Ice and Fire, or Tale of Fire and Ice?
What's the name of the author?
The introductory to fantasy? There's all kinds of introductories to fantasy. C.S. Lewis. I mean, like, it's kiddie fantasy. Are you talking about for adults?
Yeah, I think it is C.S. Lewis. I think someone was telling me that he's like the introduction to fantasy for people who don't like fantasy.
Introduction to Christianity, maybe.
Well, he has a lot of Christian themes in his fantasy books, and he has a lot of Christian books, but he has the Narnia books. First fantasy book I was exposed to, actually, in fourth grade was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and I thought it was fucking awesome. Like, it set my imagination on fire.
If you don't like it just because it's got Christian themes, you know, go fuck yourself.
No, I mean, there's no reason not to. I mean, there's Christian themes in fantasy, period, because J.R.R. Tolkien was a devout Catholic, and there are Catholic myths all over the place in The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. It's a homage. I think that Jerry Holkins of Penny Arcade fame said it best in that...
Jerry Holkin?
He's an atheist, but he says that he doesn't understand why more people don't lift stuff out of the Bible, because he goes, other than J.R.R. Tolkien, it's the richest... most well-developed fantasy series there is. There's divine beings, fantastic powers, there's murder, there's deceit,
sacrifice.
There's kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall, human sacrifice, insane death cults. I mean, everything you got.
It's rich.
You can imagine. It's
a rich source material.
He said that I'm surprised that there isn't a biblical-based MMO. You know, it's like...
That's interesting. I wonder how popular that would be, man.
I don't know, because people either are so devout and they believe it and they act that it is true in their lives, and it would piss them off, or the people that don't believe it's true wouldn't have probably any interest either because they don't really care anymore. So you'd have to disguise the powerful themes in other ways. I mean...
Like Lost.
They hid the
sci-fi in the drama show.
You have to hide it in some other form.
Yep.
If you did a straight-up Bible conversion, it would actually piss off the fundamentalist.
Yeah.
Because it would include things like...
Passion of the Christ.
You know, a rape gang comes to your door, you throw their daughters to them.
Yeah.
To make them go away.
Or someone reading a list of instructions on how to beat your slaves. Like,
right.
Don't do a one-to-one allegory. I'm not saying that. I don't think that would work.
The grinding in the MMO is beating
That's
slaves.
That's a hell of a quest. Rape gang comes to your house, throw out your concubine, let them rape her to death. Okay, that's phase one. The quest begins when you go outside and chop her into 12 pieces to deliver them to the 12 kingdoms.
We'll just leave out Leviticus. Leviticus will leave it out.
It's right, Judges. Judges, right out.
Leviticus
phase two of the quest is to bring
about
four horns.
We're going to skip version 1.0 and go to 2.0 with the introduction of the exciting new Jesus character.
Yes. The Sermon on the Mound.
Mount
Isn't
Harder.
That what it is?
Mount Harder. Sermon on the Mount 2. Mount Harder.
Dismount.
Remember when I said I would never give a sermon on the Mount again?
Yeah, that's right, Jesus. That's what you said. That's what you
said. I lied.
As fishes and loaves explode from his ass. Every orifice. Wow, that went strange.
Shit.
That went straight to hell.
The whole thing is, like, Captain Planet was just...
Yeah, where were
that
we?
I was this joke. I was like a 30-second throwaway joke. With the real anniversary I want to talk about, 40th anniversary.
Oh, I thought it was Captain.
44th Planet. Anniversary of Star Trek, and we actually are going to have a gala award ceremony.
A gay love ceremony.
A gay love award
live.
Ceremony.
Yep.
It's going to be
streaming
hot.
On Ustream.
Hot sync.
We're going to have a bunch of different categories, and we're going to give awards out, and we're going to do the damn thing right. So you got that to look forward to. Star Trek Awards Anniversary Award Show coming up.
Hell yeah. Lots of bonus content with that one, too.
Oh, yeah.
Lots
we're actually going to record our vicious cutthroat debate about the categories.
What categories
awards,
there should be, who should be nominated, all that stuff.
It's like we're going to peel back the curtain from the Academy, like, you know, have the vicious fights of the nomination process. That's
definitely. All the politics are there for your listening pleasure.
Lay bare. Barely.
Envelopes opened. Envelopes gone wild.
Well, why don't you kick it to the outro?
Oh, we've got to do one of those outro things now.
Yeah, let's do the outro. I mean, it's pretty classic.
Listeners, you can vote in an online poll we've got whether or not you actually want this episode to end. We're not going to end it yet. We're going to put the poll up. We're going to give it a couple weeks, let people vote, let people make up their minds, and then, based on your votes, we'll decide whether to end it or not.
And as Chris Rock says...
Are we going to, like, take our mics into the bathroom? Are we going to, you know, into the shower? Are they going to be privy to every privy thing that happens here?
It'll be a Truman Show.
Wow.
And we'll call it the Blumen Show.
Yeah, if you don't go on that poll and vote that the show ends in 10 minutes, you'll hear me wrestling with my own penis.
As it attacks him in his sleep.
You don't find me good whole.
That's a tough way to go, bludgeoned to death by your own,
by your own dick.
Your penis sounds like Yoda? Why?
That's what the hammer of Graptar sounds like.
Oh, wait for the fleshlight. I'll do you no harm.
I'm wondering, why are you queer?
Yes, yeah, I was going to.
Your dick hates being gay.
Yeah.
My penis is the only straight thing about me. And it's crooked.
That could be a sitcom right there. Someone who's totally gay, but his dick is straight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it talks to him all
but the
time.
Dick itself has a bend in it.
So you know that it doesn't mean...
That it's not a straight. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That could be the logo, a bent penis.
A bent penis.
If we have a gay listener, he's like either horrified or enraged.
Or he thinks it's a great idea.
Maybe. He probably
maybe
does.
His penis is straight.
We're open to the fact that we need sensitivity training. So
I know, man. Dude, I listen to Orange Lounge Radio. One of their hosts is gay. One of my favorite podcasts. I love it. I don't need no sensitivity training.
Wait a second. This is like an abstract form of the I've got a gay friend so I can say whatever I want argument.
Well, I do have a gay friend
as
well.
You have a gay host of a podcast.
I was trying to relate it to fucking video games, Mr. Video Game Podcast Host.
What?
To geeks. I could have said, yes, I have a gay friend. But I was saying, I listen to podcasts.
I thought it was funny that, like, you know, people's like, I got a gay friend so I can say, you know, whatever. I listen to a guy.
Oh, my
he's
God.
A gay. He's whatever.
I can call them porch monkeys. I got a black friend.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm married to a black bear.
I've got a token black friend.